अध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमदतिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी। We are discussing the thousand names of Devi as found in Lalita Sahasranama. So we saw in the last day or the last namas as to Devi, or last few days, like we have been seeing that Devi is not a person who doesn't stay away from action just because Devi is always abiding in the truth. Devi's truth itself or Brahman itself doesn't mean Devi doesn't stay away from actions. So actions, there is no relation between actions as well as knowledge. So Krishna says in Gita that sarvam karma akilam partha jnane parisamaptyate. Wherever there is action, where there is no jnanam, wherever there is jnanam, there is no action. So this means that wherever there is jnanam, actions will not affect a person. Actions will still be there, but actions will not affect a person. A person will not get affected or attached by the action or the fruit that is to be gained by the action. But what happens in the world, or generally what happens with people like us, is that we are not in jnanam, we don't implement jnanam, and we don't get away from action as well. So we are trapped in both the cases. We are incompetent in both the cases. But as per the Shastras, as per Vedanta, actions are not against realization, against knowledge. So knowledge is such a different plane. So when Krishna says that wherever knowledge is there, actions are burnt into ashes, means that which is burnt into ashes cannot give us any fruit, cannot give us either good fruit or bad fruit. Similarly, if actions are burnt into ashes, then actions cannot give us either good fruit or bad fruit. So the good fruit is the limited happiness or sukham that we get out of it. And the bad fruit is the bandham or bondage. Action binds a person into doing more and more action. The chain, it's a vicious cycle. It's an infinite loop from which a person cannot come out. We can consider it as a maze in which once we enter, we cannot come out. Coming out is very difficult. But a person who is in knowledge, who is abiding in knowledge, for him, actions do happen. Actions might or might not happen. Where, like for Mahatmas like Ramana Maharshi, didn't do any action, whereas Mahatmas like Amma are doing action all the while. So there are different types of people. But what is important for the jnani, for a person who is abiding in the truth, is that actions don't give the fruit that they give for us. Actions give us only dukkham. So it takes us many, many years to understand that actions will give us dukkham. We go on doing actions at one plane or other plane for ourselves or for others. It only gives us dukkham. So we have to come out of the bondage of action. We have to come out of the notion that I am the doer. We have to come out of that notion and realize that everything is one Ishvara. If everything is one Ishvara, then how can I do action? How are actions possible? If everything is one entity, there is neither the doer nor there is the fruit. There is only one entity. Still, actions might go on like a dreamer who is dreaming, but he knows that he is dreaming. So it's like an actor acting in a film, acting in a movie, all the while knowing that there is no movie at all. Still, he does act, but he's not affected by it. But generally what happens is when a person enters into action, he gets deluded into the action, he gets attached to the action, he gets attached to people and things around him, and that causes dukkham. So as much or as deep is the desire in a person, in a sadhaka, to come out of this, he will not be able to come out unless he implements jnanam. Jnanam is the only way to get rid of the bondage of action, and jnanam is always remembering, always having in our mind, having in our intellect that everything is one. And the moment we think everything is one, there is no attachment, there is no aversion, there is no ragadvesham. Ragadvesham is possible only when we consider this some people as my people and others are as not my people. So actions will still continue, actions might continue. We cannot say actions will or actions are there. We cannot define it in that way. From our perspective, from the Ajnani's perspective, from our perspective, we cannot realize the state of, or we cannot apprehend the state of jnanam. But in that state, there is only one entity. Actions may be there, may not be there, but the jnani is ever blissful. He is not affected by the action. He is not, as Shankara says, kartum akartum anyatha va kartum shakyah. That is the problem with karma. The problem with karma is kartum. It can be done. Akartum, it cannot be done. Or a person can choose as to whether he wants to do. Second option is he doesn't want to do. Anyata kartum, he wants to do it in a different way. All these options are there with action, but once a person gets beyond action, then there are no options, there are no alternatives, which means that there is no kartratvam, which means there is no bhoktratvam as well, which means such a person will be a sakshi. So though Devi is always the truth, always Brahman, unaffected, unattached and advitiya vastu, still at the vyavaharika or at vyavaharam, wherever there is vyavaharam, Devi doesn't stand, Devi doesn't walk out of action, whether it is worldly action or whether it is spiritual action. Devi will never walk out of action, because when a person knows, if somebody calls a person and says, "Come, can you act in this movie? Here you'll be killing 10 people in 1 second. Can you do that?" So we will not even hesitate for a second. We will not hesitate to say yes, because we know that it is an illusion. But a person who is attached to the action will think twice, thrice as to whether to do this or whether not to do. And even when people tell him, "Do this, this is good," still he will not be able to do, because his mind or his vision is affected. His vision is, we can say, his vision is tainted by his attachment. But for Devi, who is beyond action, a person who is beyond action is always in control of action. So actions may or will still continue, but the person will be unaffected. So these Ramas that we are learning are about Devi. Devi doing action, or Devi not staying away from action. Devi doesn't hesitate to do action. So the next Nama is the 231st Nama, Om Mahabhairava Pujitaye Namaha. So Devi is Mahabhairava Pujita. Devi is worshipped by Mahabhairava. So Mahabhairava can be considered as Shiva itself here. So Devi is worshipped by Shiva. So Devi becomes the idol or murti for a person's worship. So Devi doesn't hesitate even to be like that. When somebody goes to Amma and says, "Amma, I want to worship you, I want to do Pada Puja," Amma doesn't immediately get angry and say, "No, no, no, how can you do that? There is only one entity, there are no actions here, how can you do Pada Puja? We both are same, then how can you do Pada Puja?" She doesn't do that, because she is aware, she is always abiding in the truth that there is only one, therefore whatever actions happen in the world will happen and they won't be affected by it. So Devi is worshipped by Mahabhairava. So Devi is worshipped by Shiva. So Shiva means a person who is trying to realize consciousness is Shiva. A person who is, he's partly Shiva, he is trying to be Shiva. So the moment we think of ourselves as Nirguna Brahman, the moment we think of ourselves as abiding in the truth, as remembering everything to be one, going beyond Dvaitam, that very moment we become Shiva. Temporarily at least we become Shiva, and that means we will, the only action that is possible out of Shiva is worship of Devi. What is the worship of Devi? That is what is called as prapatti, or always pervading Devi is the worship. So the moment we see everything as one, we become Shiva. And Shiva, what does Shiva do? Shiva again does the worship. Again does or not worship. Shiva's worship is seeing oneness everywhere, which means again we will become Shiva. So this can be considered as a vicious cycle. This can be considered as an addiction or a chain as well. And there will be a time when both these merge, which means that there is no need, no more worship required, because we are abiding in Shiva. We are always Shiva. So that is the meaning of this Nama. How can we become Shiva? How can we become Shiva who always abides in Devi? By at least trying to worship Devi. By trying to remember that everything is Devi. At least for some time in a day, for a few minutes, for a few moments, if we are able to forget everything, our parents, our relatives, our friends, the world around us, everything, oh, I have to do this work. We shouldn't say all those things, because Imman ilatil ellam nadakkudamma undan aadalilale. So it is because of Devi. We can say that it is because of my capability that the world is going on. Everything happens because of Devi, because Shri Mata, Shri Maharajni, Shri Matsimhasuneshwari. Everything happens because of Devi. The moment Devi gets away from our life, the moment Devi gets away from our thoughts, that very moment we die. We die in the sense that very moment we enter into sorrow. And when we are in such a sorrowful state, not even Mahatmas like Amma will be able to help us out. We can go to Amma and cry and say, oh Amma, I want relief from this dukkham. They will also be not able to help, because the equipment that helps us in realizing or getting over dukkham is the mind. That is faulty. As long as that is faulty, a Mahatma or any Mahatma cannot use that equipment to tune into Ishvara. So if we want ourselves to benefit out of the presence of Mahatmas like Amma, then we have to purify our mind. We have to put our effort. Our effort is trying to always abide in Ishvara. And any moment we face obstacles while remembering Ishvara, while remembering that everything is Brahman, that very moment we should surrender on to Devi and say, oh Devi, I know that everything is you only. Then why are you giving me trouble? Please help me out of this trouble. I don't want trouble. Please save me out of this trouble, we should say. And a sadhaka who progresses, who is an advanced sadhaka, will not even pray like that. An advanced sadhaka will pray that, oh Devi, it is fine. Even if I have obstacles, it is fine as long as I remember you. So that is the state of Kunti Devi, who prayed to Krishna to give her more and more sorrows, because at the time of sorrow we remember Ishvara. We will be learning Vedantam, we will be learning Lalita Sahasranama daily, 10 namas, 5 namas, and after we learn the entire Lalita Sahasranama, then suddenly something goes wrong, suddenly one of our close friend dies, and then everything will vanish. We will become very sad. Oh my friend died, I cannot even implement Vedanta. That will be the state. We shouldn't be in such a state. At that time, we will be able to remember Ishvara temporarily. We will say, oh Ishvara, please help me out. We will be able to tell that. And if we have to tell that, or if we really want to be unaffected even at that time, that is the That is the state of jnani. Jnani is unaffected by good as well as bad. Whether it is good that is happening or whether it is bad, he is unaffected. So that is what Krishna says in many places of Gita as samaloshtashma kanchanaha. Samaloshtashma kanchanaha. So a person in jnani sees samatvam. He sees mud and gold both in the same way. So if we have to be unaffected by it, by the surrounding, whatever comes, we have to remember Devi, then we have to remember starting now itself. Then why is it said that Kunti Devi said, give me sorrow? That is because people like us only remember Devi when sorrow comes. And when sorrow comes, we don't even remember Devi, we just walk away from Devi. We walk away from the truth. Whatever is truth, we walk away from it because of a number of reasons. Fight with one's parents, fight with one's guru, fight with friends, fight with relatives. Because of all this, like, we back out of Ishvara. Whatever happens in the world, whether we are fighting with our parents, whether we are fighting with our friends, whether we are fighting with our relatives, whether we are fighting with guru as well, it doesn't matter. We should never forget Ishvara. The moment Ishvara vanishes from our life, that very moment we start dying. So Mahabhairava Pujita. So another significance is Bhairava is a person who is fierce. He is fierce in that he destroys people. So if we have to stay away from the destruction of Bhairava, then we have to worship. We have to seek that person who can control Bhairava. The person who can control Bhairava is one who is adored, one who is worshipped by Bhairava, which is Devi. So if we don't want destruction in life, if we don't want to die each and every moment of our life by facing or by suffering, by always being dukkam, by always having dukkam, we have to worship, we have to seek Devi. Anything and everything in the world is fine except forgetting Devi, that Devi who pervades the entire world. And why is it that we have to worship Devi? Because she is eternal. So Mahabhairava Pujita. When we worship Devi who is worshipped by Mahabhairava, then we will get beyond death. We will get beyond destruction. Oh, how can you say we get beyond destruction? Even when Paramashiva or Sadashiva does Tandava Nrityam, still we will be alive? Yes, we will be alive. Why? O Maheshwara Mahakalpa Mahatandava Sakshinne Namaha. Because when we seek Devi, we are one with Devi. When we are one with Devi, Devi is always there. Maheshwara Mahakalpa Mahakalpa Mahakalpam. Mahakalpam means at the end of the kalpa, end of the yuga. At that time, Maheshwaras, Sadashivas, Mahatandavam. So the Mahatandavam Nrityam, Devi is there is at the time of Mahatandavam Nrityam as Sakshini, as the Sakshi. Devi is there as the Sakshi of Mahatandavam Nrityam of Sadashiva. If Devi is the Sakshi and we are one with Devi, then we are also the Sakshi, which means we will be ever eternal. So if we want eternal state, if we want to always be present, always being present or always existing is another aspect of death. So one aspect of death is dukkham, and another aspect of death is non-existent state, or the fear that we will cease to exist at some point of time. That we can get rid of that. We can get rid of that thought because if we worship Mahabhairava Pujita, if we worship Devi, then Devi is a sakshi of even Mahatandavam, which means we are or we will be eternal. And Om Mahakamesha Mahishyai Namaha. And Devi also dons worldly roles. So one of her roles is Mahakamesha Mahishi. Mahishi means wife. So wife of Mahakamesha. Devi is the wife of Sadashiva. So who is Mahakamesha? So Kama Isha. Kama Isha means lord of Kamam, lord of desire, Mahakamesha, Lord of all desires. Devi is the wife of the Lord of all desires. Even as in a house, or majority of the houses, women rule inside the house. Most of the places women rule. So which means Devi can rule in, we can say rule not in the sense of rule through argument, but they, women can rule through love, through passion, through showing respect. In many ways women can control, or women can rule the house. So Devi can rule Sadashiva, rule over Sadashiva. And what is the characteristic of Sadashiva? He is the Lord of desires, which means if we worship Devi, we will get all our desires fulfilled. Not only that, all our desires will be fulfilled. He is the Kama Isha, he is the Lord of desire, which means we will go beyond desires. So we'll be able to get all, fulfill all our desires. A person who wants fulfillment of desire, when he worships Devi, all his desires will be fulfilled. And a person who, also a person who wants to go beyond desire, he will also go beyond desire because of worship of Devi. But it just is dependent on the person, on the seeker, whether the seeker wants desires, his desires to be fulfilled, or he wants to go beyond desires. That is the reason why we see many people worshipping Devi, we see many people worshipping Amma, but very few or rare are people who really seek Devi for moksha. Rare are people who seek moksha from Amma. And seeking moksha from Amma is not just going to Amma and saying, Amma, I want moksha. That is not seeking moksha. The seeking has to come from within. The seeking has to always be there. It has to be a yearning for moksha. We should cry day in and day out for Ishvara. Amma says that we have to always cry for Ishvara each and every moment. Parama Vyakulata, Narada says that when we remember Ishvara, we have to always remember Ishvara. The moment we forget Ishvara, we should become very sad, really sad. We have to yearn for Ishvara, we have to yearn for moksha. That means like we yearn for things only when, only that we, which we really want, not that we which we just ask or which we are not convinced of. We can ask like once or twice moksha really to Amma. In our mind we will ask moksha once or twice, and then we will say, oh, temporarily I need to learn Lalita Sahasranama, temporarily I need to attend Awakened Children class, that is enough for me. That is what we will ask. We shouldn't ask that. Our goal, we shouldn't stop until like we achieve what is the topmost thing in the world. We shouldn't stop. A sadhaka will never stop until he gets moksha. He will stop with, he cannot be satisfied like with anything less than moksha. He can be satisfied only with moksha. Only that is real yearning for moksha. And that is real, are really asking or seeking from Devi the state beyond desire. We don't have any desire, there is no desire at all, because I want the desireless state. So such a person who asks will be taken. That is the reason why Krishna says that there are people who seek many things in the world. The four types of bhakta, chaturvidha, bhajanti, mam jana, sukrito, sukritino, arjuna, arto jignyasu dattarti jnani cha bharatarshava. Different types of, four types of bhaktas worship me, artha, artati, jijnyasu and jnani. Jnani is a person who always abides in me, he doesn't have anything, he is one with me. And then jijnyasu, people who ask for moksha, who ask for that knowledge which will give, which will make him a jnani. And others are there who seek wealth or who seek removal of sorrow. So we shouldn't be like, we shouldn't be an artha or artharti. We should become a bhakta who seeks jijnyasu, who wants only moksha, who wants constant remembrance of Devi. Because such a bhakta alone will go beyond desire. Devi has power or control over Mahakamesha, therefore Devi will give off or fulfill all our desires. But as Manu says in Manu Smriti, that if we think that we can remove or eradicate desire by enjoying it, It is like trying to extinguish fire by pouring ghee over it. We'll think that the fire will be extinguished, but the fire will burn more vigorously. So that is what will happen if we try to think that we can fulfill some desires and we can enjoy desires and then eradicate them. One desire will be fulfilled and 10 other desires will come in. That is what will happen. So we shouldn't be like that. So the next nama is Maha Tripura Sundaryai Namaha. So Maha Kamesha Maheshi, one who rules over all desires. A person who rules over all desires, one who is beyond all desire, is only that person who is the basis for the entire world. So Maha Tripura Sundari. So Maha Tripura Sundari means Tripura Sundari, one who controls the three deities or three couples who do Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. We can interpret it that way. Or a better interpretation is Maha Tripuram. Tripuram means the three puram or three bodies that we have during Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. The Stula, Sukshma and Karana Sharira. Devi is beyond these three. Devi pervades these three. Devi is a common factor between these three. That is because she is beyond desire. It is the presence of Devi, it is the presence of this desireless or that entity of Devi beyond desire that propels all action in the world. All action, we do actions for fulfilling some desire, and all those desires are to go beyond desires. All those desires are for the state of perfection, that state where there is no desire or no desire left to be fulfilled. But rarely do people realize, rarely do people try to acknowledge that, okay, what I am seeking is the state where desire will not be there at all. So Devi is there in the three avastas, Devi is there in the three worlds, Devi does all actions, Devi's very presence make us work toward that goal of desireless state. But as long as everybody, irrespective of whether it is a sadhaka or not, whether it is a jnani or ajnani, everybody is going towards that goal of desireless state. Of course, jnani is always in that desireless state. So others, everybody is going towards that, but some people know and go, some people don't know and go. So people who don't know and go, it's like a person traveling in the New Jersey Turnpike. Consider that that person is traveling in the New Jersey Turnpike, and his goal, he doesn't know his goal. So since he doesn't know his goal, therefore he just roams here and there. And when some exit comes, he just exits, and then gets back. He does something he doesn't know. He may even go in the wrong direction. His goal might be like New York, but he still goes toward Pennsylvania. And he will not achieve New York. And even if he achieves New York, still he will continue further because he doesn't know that this is the place I have to stop. So we shouldn't be like that. So everybody is seeking Devi. Devi is Maha Tripura Sundari. Devi is a Sundari. Devi is the beautiful or blissful entity which makes people do actions, which makes people live life. But rarely do people realize as to that they are really seeking Devi. When a person knows that I am seeking Devi, that very moment he starts seeking Devi. He puts all his effort towards seeking Devi, which means the person is driving towards New York in the NJ Turnpike, which means he will achieve the goal as well. So the last nama of the day is Om Chatushashti Upacharadhyā. So one Devi is a person who is worshipped through Chatushashti, 64 Upacharam, 64 methods or 64 Tantras. We have learned this in Saundari Lahari. I am not sure about the 64 Tantras or 64 ways Upacharam. I don't know those Upacharam, but it is also a way, a number given. Whatever Upacharam, whatever activities are there in the world, that is pervaded by Devi as the Adhisthanam. Once we know that Devi pervades even actions as the Adhisthanam, that is knowledge. And when we have knowledge, action ceases to be action. Action doesn't exist at all, which means such a person will be able to be blissful. So that is what we have to do. We have, like, irrespective of whether we do actions or we don't do actions, we have to remember the Adhishthanam. We have to remember Devi as pervading the entire world. If Devi pervades the entire world, she also pervades action as well. What is the difference between action and world? So she pervades everything. Oh, what about bad things? Everything is pervaded by Devi. There is no good or bad. Everything is pervaded by Devi. So sadhaka has to always remember that everything is pervaded by Devi. I am going to remember this. Whatever happens, I am going to remember this. Nothing can stop me from thinking about Devi in my mind. Nothing can stop me from having the conviction in my intellect that I am going to remember Devi. So nothing can come in my way. That will be this the mentality or attitude of a sadhaka who wants moksha as soon as possible. And such a sadhaka will very easily realize Devi. Very soon he will realize Devi and be blissful. May Amma bless us to get that attitude of Mayi eva mana adachva mayi buddhim niveshaya, or having Devi in our mind and intellect, so that we will realize Devi very soon in our life. Namaskar.